Listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten now, and let's hear no more about it.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that's won as many Oscars as Alfred Hitchcock. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Catherine, the uncanny Donahoe.
I'm the best at what I do, and Bub, what I do is trivia.
Michelle, butter luck.
Butter luck next time, Pally.
And Sean, midnight movie Johnson.
You will not win this competition. You will not, you will not, you will not. Oh, hi, Dave.
Hello to everyone, players and contestants and listeners alike, and welcome to our Season 6 premiere episode. 27 brand new contestants here to battle it out across 13 weeks of pop culture trivia with one Supermondo champion of champions at the end of it. Today, joining us for our season premiere, hot off his victory last week with his compatriots from The Incomparable, it is score master Monty Ashley. Welcome to the show, Monty.
Hi, Taylor. I just can't figure out how to get out of here.
We'll tell you maybe later. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. In the meantime, we should also introduce the man behind the boards. It's production master Dave.
I trust you're going to enjoy your stay. And now to business.
Absolutely. So let's get down to the business of our first round, a game of My Champion. This is the game where each one of our players has chosen a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture, but we choose the battle those champions are fighting. Undercaffeinated chemist Catherine Donahoe, who is your champion today?
My champion is Rod Kimball from the 2007 movie Hot Rod.
Judy Blumaholic, Michelle Luck, who is your champion?
My champion is Lady Mary Crawley from Downton Abbey.
And Rocky Horror Shadowcaster Sean Johnson, who have you got?
My champion is the eccentric, romantic, and altogether manic patriarch of the Adams family, Gomez Adams.
Three champions are locked in. I'm going to be the judge for our season premiere today. So that means it's time to spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, which champion has the most acute sense of smell? Catherine, why does Rod Kimball from Hot Rod have the most acute sense of smell?
Well, I think that as an aspiring stuntman who is focused on doing jumps over escalatingly difficult obstacles, he would develop a keen sense of smell to understand if his bike is broken.
All right, I will take it, Catherine. Thank you. Michelle, why does Lady Mary Crawley have the best sense of smell?
I think that Lady Mary Crawley has a very refined palate, and that would go along with her amazing ability to smell. She's not afraid to muck down with the pigs, so smells don't bother her. I think that she's fabulous at whatever she does.
And last but not least, Gomez Adams. Sean, why does Gomez have the most acute sense of smell?
Well, as many things in regards to Gomez Adams' motives, this involves his wife. I would imagine he would have refined his sense of smell over time just so that he could better enjoy whatever her choice of scent was that evening, be it, you know, ash of dead roses or poison du jour. But I would say Gomez would probably have refined it simply so that he could be close to his wife even more.
All right. Three arguments in there. I fully did not understand the first one.
No, it's quite simple, you see. He developed a keen sense of smell so he can tell when his bike is broken.
Yeah.
You know, oil.
As one does.
Yeah, exactly.
He smells the bike oil all over the ground, Taylor.
How, perfectly how do you clear. Guys fix your bikes?
It's I like mean... you guys have never ridden a motorcycle before.
Clearly, I haven't. When it comes to Michelle's argument of Lady Mary Crawley, the refined palate thing was starting to get me, but then saying that she's going to muck down with the pigs so smells won't bother her, that means her smell sense of smell is not acute at all. It's the opposite of what we're looking for. With Gomez centering that argument around Morticia, it's very sweet, and I think it makes just enough sense to win. So we're going to go with Sean and Gomez Adams.
Excellent.
Sean, you've won my champion, which means you get a crack at the half point. Answer this question correct, and you may have a half point to your name, which may break a tie before a tie even happens. Here is your half point question. In the 2007 movie Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story, Dewey loses his sense of smell after the childhood traumatic experience of accidentally cutting his brother Nate in half with a machete. What two-time Academy Award nominee plays the adult version of Nate's ghost in a later scene?
See, the flaw in this is that I never actually got this around to seeing this movie, so I have no idea. I'll have to pass.
That is Jonah Hill appearing as older Nate in Walk Hard. Now, you may have missed the half point, Sean, but you do get to go first in round one. Let me be your star. We all love when actors play other actors because that's like double actor. In this game, you'll name the film in which one actor portrayed another real-life actor. But we're not telling you their names, only two wholly separate properties they have respectively starred in. For example, if I asked you in which movie does a star of Moulin Rouge play a star of I Love Lucy, you'd know that that movie was...
Being the Ricardos.
The recent Being the Ricardos. 10 points for the name of the movie right off the bat, and 5 points after getting the names of both actors. Starting with our My Champion winner, Sean. In what movie does a star of I, Tonya portray a star of Valley of the Dolls?
Wow, I'm going to need the hint right off the bat, I think.
It's the movie where Margot Robbie plays Sharon Tate.
That would be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
4 or 5 points, correct. Next to Catherine, what's the movie where a star of Elizabeth portrays a star of The Philadelphia Story?
I think that's Kate Blanchett and... Catherine Hepburn? I'll say The Aviator?
Yes, in an Oscar-winning performance, 10 points for The Aviator. Next up to Michelle. What's the movie where a star of Sherlock Holmes plays a star of City Lights?
A star of Sherlock Holmes plays a star of City Lights? Well, I don't know the answer to either one of those parts. May I please have a hint?
It's the movie where Robert Downey Jr. plays Charlie Chaplin.
So is that not Chaplin?
It is Chaplin for 5. Back to Sean. What's the movie where a star of Crimes and Misdemeanors stars as a star of Dracula?
Crimes and Misdemeanors. I don't think it's Woody Allen. That'd be Ed Wood?
Yes, with Martin Landau playing Bela Lugosi in Ed Wood. Next to Catherine. What's the movie where a star of Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events portrays a star of Taxi?
Could I get the hint, please?
It's the movie where Jim Carrey plays Andy Kaufman.
Man on the Moon?
4 or 5. Next to Michelle, what's the movie where a star of The Last Temptation of Christ portrays a star of Nosferatu?
Can I please get a hint?
It's the movie where Willem Dafoe plays Max Schreck.
Nope, I do not know either of those properties.
Sean?
That's Shadow of the Vampire.
Yes, for no points, but Shadow of the Vampire. Sean, this next one is for you. What's the movie where a star of Spider-Man stars as a star of The Room?
The Room? That's The Disaster Artist.
Yes, where James Franco plays Tommy Wiseau in that movie from 2017. Next up to Catherine. What's the movie where a star of Brokeback Mountain stars as a star of The 7-Year Itch?
Brokeback Mountain would probably be... It's Michelle Williams playing Marilyn Monroe. Is that My Week with Marilyn?
All the parts right there. 10 points to Catherine. Next to Michelle. What's the movie where a star of Network portrays a star of Mildred Pierce?
Okay, this one I know. Mildred Pierce, Network. Okay, so Network, and then Mildred Pierce was redone with like Kate Winslet. So can I please get a hint? Because I don't know who the Network person is.
It's the movie where Faye Dunaway portrays Joan Crawford.
Is it Mommy Dearest?
Yes, the HBO Mildred Pierce not factoring in here, but still 5 points for Mommy Dearest. Next, we'll go to a first score update from Scoremaster Monty.
Michelle has 10 points, and Sean and Catherine are both tied with 25.
All right, still anyone's game, coming back into it. This next one is for Sean. Sean, what's the movie where a star of Chicago plays the star of The Easter Parade?
Easter Parade. Oh, that's one I haven't heard in a while. I'll need the hint for this one.
It's the movie where Renee Zellweger plays Judy Garland.
I have no idea. Pass.
Michelle?
Is it called Judy?
Simply called Judy, the 2019 Best Actress winning performance from Renee Zellweger. Over to Catherine. It's the movie where a star of 24-Hour Party People portrays a star of Saps at Sea.
I will take the hint for that one.
It's the movie where Steve Coogan plays Stan Laurel.
The Laurel and Hardy story.
It is a movie about Laurel and Hardy, also from 2019. This movie was called Stan and Ollie, with John C. Reilly playing Oliver Hardy. Next up to Michelle, what's the movie where the star of A Serious Man stars as a star of Double Indemnity?
A Serious Man. Okay, so that's a Coen Brothers movie, the one I probably know the least, plus Double Indemnity. May I please get a hint?
It's the movie where Michael Stuhlbarg plays Edward G. Robinson.
I do not know. Pass.
Name of that movie is Trumbo, where Bryan Cranston plays Dalton Trumbo, but Michael Stuhlbarg plays Edward G. Robinson. For everyone's last question in this round, the answer is going to be a made-for-television movie. So a famous made-for-TV movie. This one is for Sean. Sean, what's the TV movie where a star of The Parent Trap portrays a star of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
I will need the hint for this.
The TV movie where Lindsay Lohan plays Elizabeth Taylor.
I'm just going to Hail Mary and say it's Elizabeth.
The name is in there, but this one is called Liz and Dick, the Lifetime movie. Over to Catherine. What's the TV movie where a star of I Know What You Did Last Summer portrays a star of Roman Holiday?
I'll take the hint.
Jennifer Love Hewitt is playing Audrey Hepburn.
Pass.
Probably going to throw in a Hail Mary. That is The Audrey Hepburn Story, that Emmy-winning TV movie. We'll close out round one with Michelle. What's the TV movie where a star of Escape from L.A. plays a star of Jailhouse Rock?
Okay, the star of Jailhouse Rock, is it maybe Elvis? And Escape from L.A., I don't know, so can I please get a hint?
Kurt Russell is playing Elvis Presley.
So is it the Elvis Presley story?
Could use that logic for Catherine. This one is quite simply called Elvis, notable for being the first collaboration between Kurt Russell and John Carpenter, even before Escape from New York.
Mm.
Well, that'll close it out for round one. Next up, the scores from Monty, and on to round two. Hi, listeners. Taylor here to tell you about what's going on this week over on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show Patreon. This Friday morning, our listeners at the silver and gold levels are going to get a special empty studio episode delivered to their feeds. This week's theme is called Signal Hoppers. It's going to be trivia all about actors who appeared in multiple television shows during the year 2021. So if you watched a lot of TV and saw some unescapable faces, flex that trivia knowledge with our empty studio game. Gain access to that and literally dozens more past Empty Studio episodes at usaquizshow.com/membership for all your Patreon needs.
After one round of play, it's time for the German Augmented Sixth Chords score break. German Augmented Sixth Chords. And harmonic spellings be darned. They're just flat sixth chords with a dominant seventh. Get over yourself, Beethoven.
G, Gee, I wonder who put that one in.
But if anyone gets that, please become my best friend.
The scores right now are Sean and Catherine with 25 and Michelle with 10 points. But that means Michelle gets to go first in round two.
Michelle, that also means you get a chance to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible correct answers. You're going to have three guesses to match as many of those correct answers as you can. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Here is your Threequalizer question. Which three members of the Eagles are the credited songwriters on their 1976 song, Hotel California?
Okay, Hotel California, the Eagles, Don Henley. Other members of the Eagles, Steve Winwood? Was he a member of the Eagles and also Elvis?
You can't go back and answer questions from previous rounds, Michelle. But 10 points for Don Henley, absolutely. The other two members are Glenn Frey, the slide guitar player, also Don Felder with a writing credit on Hotel California. Staying in the realm of hotels, that's going to keep us going on to round two, having reservations. It's been a busy time here at the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, so we're planning a little getaway. In this game, I'll read you a review of a fictional hotel or resort, and you tell me the name of the TV show or movie that it's from. For example, this review's from 1980, 3 stars. You can tell the hotel has a grand past, but the staff is all work and no play, and the carpet pattern is upsetting, and there was something weird in the bathtub. You'd know that that was a review of a hotel from
The Shining.
Yes, The Shining. That would get you 30 points. If you're not sure, I can read you up to 2 more reviews of the same hotel, but the more reviews you hear, the fewer points you'll get for a correct answer. Michelle, this first review is for you. From the year 1987, 4 stars. This place has everything I love about the Catskills. Gorgeous views, a lake, comedy.
Is it Dirty Dancing?
For the full 30, Michelle. Next up to Sean. This review is from the year 1960. 1 star. The hotel manager wanted to tell me about his taxidermy hobby, so no thanks.
Oh, that would be Bates Motel from Psycho.
Yes, Bates Motel. Next up to Catherine. This review is from 2000. 2 stars. I don't know who was worse, the front desk staffer with an affected accent who was super snooty, or the one that just wouldn't shut up.
I don't know. Could I get another review?
4 stars. Celebrity sighting. Norman Mailer is here all the time, just drinking iced tea, and he doesn't seem to notice how annoyed the staff is.
Oh, God. next hint, please.
3 stars. It's pleasant enough, and if you want to stay in Stars Hollow, it's the only game in town.
That is from Gilmore Girls.
Yes, the Dragonfly Inn from Gilmore Girls. 10 points to Catherine. Next up, back to Michelle. This review is from the year 1990. 5 stars. It's beautifully situated on the bluffs above Whitetail Falls.
Can I please get a hint?
2 stars. The staff is nice enough, but some of the other guests are deeply weird. The guy in room 35 seems to have been there for months, and he keeps talking into a tape recorder.
I will need another hint.
2 stars. The Timber Room restaurant is okay, but if you want some damn fine coffee, you'll have to go into town.
Is it Twin Peaks?
Yes, the Great Northern from Twin Peaks. Back over to Sean. This review is from the year 2014. 2 stars. It's pretty drab now, but the staff just won't stop talking about how great it used to be.
Next review, please.
3 stars. It's one of the last places to find the charm of Zubrovka with its mountainside resorts.
Is this the Grand Budapest Hotel?
420 from that Wes Anderson movie, correct. Back to Catherine. This review is from 1997. 4 stars. If you want to visit all the beaches on Floston without leaving the comfort of your resort, you're in luck.
I'm going to swing for the fences and say the Fifth Element.
The full 30. Great answer from Catherine. Kicking it back to Michelle. This review is from 1954. 1 star. I come to Vermont for the winter sports and beauty. If there's no snow on the ground, then what's the point?
Hint, please.
2 stars. The hotel is fine, but the owner, some former general, is just constantly moping around. Really kills the mood.
Is that Holiday Inn?
No,
or White this... Christmas!
There it is. Sorry, no points for White Christmas, but you still got it after anyway.
Moral victory.
Moral victory, exactly.
How do I account for that? Just put a big X through it?
Yeah.
Wow. Way to kick me while I'm down, Monty. Thanks.
Yeah, way to get in the White Christmas spirit.
Thanks, Monty.
Next up to Sean. This review is from 2012. 2 stars. The staff is enthusiastic, if inept, and they're going to market this place to the retired set, so they really should have more amenities on hand. Some of the guests don't even seem to want to leave the grounds.
Well, I'm going to need a hint, please.
3 stars. The surrounding town of Jaipur is quite charming and exotic, even if there are more references to British colonialism than I'm comfortable with.
Well, another hint is not really going to help, because I can't remember the name exactly. It's the Best Marigold Hotel.
1 word short, the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Next up, back to Catherine. This review is from 1975. 2 stars. I don't know what I was expecting from a hotel in Torquay, but the owner of the hotel didn't even seem to want anyone there.
Next hint, please.
2 stars. What kind of hotel restaurant can't even put together a Waldorf salad?
Oh, boy. Third review?
1 star. I tried to ask a staff member a simple question, but he just screeched at me that he is from Barcelona and knows nothing.
Pass.
Listen, don't mention the war.
Sean, what's that show?
Fawlty Towers.
Yes, from 1975. And that'll take us into our next score update from Scoremaster Monty.
It's gotten very close. Michelle has 60 points, Catherine has 65, and Sean has 75.
Wow, all within 15. We love a close game. Let's see if we can keep it close, getting back into the rest of round 2 with this review for Michelle. This is from the year 2021. 4 stars. There was a booking error, but Armand, the manager, was just wonderful in helping us resolve it.
Okay. 2021, something to do with the hotel. My mind is a complete blank. May I please have a hint, Taylor?
5 stars. I was ready to trash this place. When I come to a high-end resort and want a massage, I don't want to hear that the spa is fully booked. But Belinda, the spa manager, got me into some great ceremonial chants, so it kind of worked out amazing.
Is it White Lotus?
Yes, Mike White's HBO series, The White Lotus. Next to Sean. This review is from 1982. This is a super charming 200-year-old inn, and while the management doesn't seem experienced, I think they just came up from New York, they're really trying their best.
Next review, please.
4 stars. What a charming inn. I really hope the owners don't sell out to the Japanese developers buying up everything else in Vermont.
One more.
2 stars. They really need to work on the restaurant. The guy running it is fine, I guess, but he's always palling around with these 2 guys, both named Daryl, who don't talk.
Oh, is this from Newhart?
Yes, the Stratford Inn from Newhart. Over to Catherine. This review is from 1992. 2 stars. Beautiful Art Deco hotel right by the water, but they don't seem to have anyone working here.
Next review.
4 stars. I didn't think I'd be into the Mexican-Italian restaurant, but it's really good. Also, the one chef looks just like Cheech Marin.
Third review.
3 stars. I don't know what to make of the staff. The woman at the front desk is like something from a Tennessee Williams play, and one of the chefs has to be almost 90.
Now I'm more confused. Up in smoke?
I like that Cheech and Chong guess, but this is the Golden Palace, the Golden Girls sequel spinoff series. Well, that'll do it for round 2. Next up, one more score break from Monty, and then on to the final round. Before we get to our last round of play, it's time for the home version. correctly gets the answer to Monty's pop culture riddle by the time next week's episode goes online, and you can win the chance to win the naming rights to a score break here on the show. Take it away, Monty.
I'm keeping a secret, but everyone knows, except for the person within whom it grows. I can't keep it up. I'm disguising it awfully. At least let me just get through killing me softly.
Think you know the answer? Then find the page for this episode at usaquizshow.com and show off that pop culture knowledge. Also on our website, check out usaquizshow.com/apply if you think you're ready to play in the big leagues and come and compete on the show. While you're there, check out usaquizshow.com/dreamteam. If there's another podcast out there where you'd like to hear the hosts come and compete against each other, give us a shout and let us know. Who knows who could pop up on a future special episode. Thanks for the riddle, Monty. How about a score update?
Going into round three, it's time for the Mad Magazine score break. Mad Magazine, gone, but never forgotten. The scores right now, Sean has 85 points, Michelle has 80 points, and Catherine has 65 points. That means that Catherine will go first in round three and will need three correct answers to move into first.
Was it me or was that Mad Magazine one a little touching? Got a little weepy.
What, me worrying?
It's all in the delivery.
I'm not used to these genuine emotions in the scoreboard.
R.I.P.
Very close game, which means anything could still happen here in the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you provide. Today's categories are no tights, graduating to a new leaf, is that a titleist, and eat it. Now, those topics aren't fully clear from their names alone, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on. Or maybe you want to keep one of the easy ones away from a later contestant. Catherine, in third place, you get first pick. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are no tights, graduating to a new leaf, is that a titleist, and eat it.
I'll take no tights.
You want to take a guess as to what's going on in this lightning round?
I'm hoping that it's comic books that don't involve superheroes, and I'm hoping that it's not dance movies.
You're not too far off. This is all going to be about movies based on comics that don't involve superheroes, but the movie adaptations of those non-superhero comics. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Catherine, are you ready?
Yes.
Scott Pilgrim has to defeat this many of Ramona's evil exes.
7.
Stallone controversially took off the helmet to play this character in a 1995 movie.
Judge Dredd.
In Men in Black, this device erases people's memories.
The Forgetalyzer.
The Neuralizer. Hugo Weaving wears a mask depicting this person in V for Vendetta.
Guy Fawkes.
This actor got a Best Supporting Actor Oscar nomination for A History of Violence.
Pass.
If the 300 Spartans have readied their breakfast and eaten heartily, then tonight they dine here.
In hell?
Steve Buscemi's Seymour was invented for the movie version of this comic series.
Pass.
The name Sin City is short for this fictional city in which the movie takes place.
Pass.
Normally a nice guy, this actor plays hitman Michael Sullivan in Road to Perdition.
Tom Hanks.
This director ventures into animation for his version of The Adventures of Tintin.
Martin Scorsese?
Steven Spielberg. Blue is the Warmest Color won this prize at the Cannes Film Festival.
The Palme d'Or?
This Alan Moore adaptation is Sean Connery's last acting credit.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Correct, but after the buzzer. All right, Monty, let's hear the Catherine report.
Well, Catherine passed three times. The actor who got the Best Supporting Actor nomination for A History of Violence was William Hurt. The movie for which Steve Buscemi's Seymour was invented was Ghost World. And Sin City turned out to be short for Basin City. Catherine got 6 correct, which moves her into first place with 125 points and means that Michelle will need 5 correct answers to pass her.
All right, Michelle, 3 lightning round options still on the board. They are graduating to a new leaf, is that a Titleist, and eat it.
Okay, is that a Titleist? It's either about golf or Seinfeld. Eat it, I think, is about maybe Weird Al Yankovic, and I have no idea what graduating to a new leaf is, so I don't know a lot about golf, but I do know a lot about Seinfeld, so let's try the Titleist.
When Kramer asks, is that a Titleist, where was that golf ball found?
Is that one of the questions?
No, this is just a fun question for you right now.
It was found inside the whale, into the blowhole of the whale, when George took it out.
Absolutely. So this lightning round is all about pop culture whales. Whales in pop culture.
What? Oh my gosh, that is amazing. You guys rock. Okay.
90 seconds on the clock, Michelle. Are you ready?
I guess so.
Gregory Peck, William Hurt, and Patrick Stewart have played this whale-hating captain.
Ahab?
The fourth film in this franchise had the crew traveling to San Francisco to find some whales.
Pass.
The pilot of the 1992 cartoon based on this musical sees the lead adopt a baby whale.
Pass.
This FBI Most Wanted and Game of Thrones actress starred in 2002's Whale Rider.
Pass.
Multiple games featuring this Sega mascot have him chased by an orca.
Sega mascot Sonic the Hedgehog?
The Mariner's Revenge song is a 2005 release from this indie Portland band.
Pass.
This 1993 Lori Petty family flick spawned three sequels.
Tank Girl?
Free Willy. John Krasinski and this E.T. actress got top billing in 2012's Big Miracle about a whale rescue.
Drew Barrymore?
James Whale is best remembered for this 1931 horror classic.
No, pass.
1977's Orca stars Richard Harris and this 10 star.
Bo Derek?
The lead character carries around a copy of Moby Dick in this best-selling fantasy comic.
Best-selling fantasy comic, The Gilmore Girls?
Bone is the name of that comic.
Rory really likes Moby Dick. I just want to know why that wasn't one of the questions.
That's fair. All right, Monty, let's hear the Michelle report.
Well, Michelle struggled a little bit. She passed four times. Franchise in which the crew traveled to San Francisco to find some whales was Star Trek. 1992 cartoon that had a TV show in which the lead adopted a baby whale was The Little Mermaid. The Mariner's Revenge song was from the band The Decemberists, and James Whale was the director of Frankenstein. Michelle got four questions correct, bringing her to 120, not enough to take the lead. Sean, meanwhile, needs five questions correct to take the win.
All right, Sean, pressure is on. Your final two lightning round options are Eat It and Graduating to a New Leaf.
Of the two, I'm going to go with Eat It.
You have a guess as to what's going on in this category?
Either it is about food and pop culture, or possibly it might be the works of Weird Al Yankovic, as Michelle intimated.
Well, your second guess is absolutely spot on. This is about the life and career and everything about Weird Al Yankovic. 90 seconds on the clock. Sean, are you ready?
Let's do this.
He wrote and starred in this 1989 comedy film.
UHF.
His American Pie parody recounts the plot of this 1999 movie.
Pass.
He's known for wearing shirts named for this U.S. state.
Wyoming.
Hawaii. The cover of his Off the Deep End spoofs the cover of this Nirvana album.
Never mind.
He has cameos in all three installments of this cop comedy movie franchise.
The Naked Gun.
This 2014 album was Yankovic's first to hit number one on the charts.
In 3D.
Mandatory Fun. Most of his albums contain a medley of contemporary pop hits in this musical style.
Polka.
He published this children's book in 2011.
Pass.
This two-digit number is in the lyrics for over a dozen Weird Al songs.
69.
27. This Breaking Bad star plays Yankovic in a fake trailer for a Weird Al biopic.
It's Jesse Pinkman, I think, but I can't pull his name past.
He parodied the Dire Straits' Money for Nothing by incorporating the theme to this classic sitcom.
The Beverly Hillbillies.
Yankovic got permission to record Amish Paradise unbeknownst to this performer of the original.
Coolio.
We are taking Coolio at the buzzer. All right, Monty, let's hear the Sean report and the final scores.
All right, Sean passed three times. The 1999 movie was Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. The children's book he published in 2011 was entitled When I Grow Up. And the Breaking Bad star who played him in a fake trailer for a Weird Al biopic was indeed the guy who played Jesse Pinkman. It's Aaron Paul. Sean got six questions correct. That means our final scores are Michelle with 120, Catherine with 125, and the winner with 145 points. Ooh. It's Sean.
Sean, congratulations. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Sean. Woo! Way to go, Sean.
Well done, Sean, pulling it out at the end. Congratulations. But that does mean it is the end of the road here at the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show for Michelle and Catherine. Fantastic game, both of you. Really had a great time. Love that back and forth in the lightning round. But before we leave, Catherine, is there anything you'd like to plug or direct our listeners towards?
Look up your local bail fund, throw them some cash if you can. It's a good way to help people in your community. And listen to your motorcycles, see if there's anything wrong.
Fantastic. Thank you, Catherine. And Michelle, is there anything you'd like to direct our listeners towards?
I'd like to tell everyone to hug a teacher today, please.
I'll take it. Thank you. And Sean, our big winner today. You're going to be moving on to the Nelvana Division Finals here in our sixth season. Before you come back, what are you going to be watching, listening to help fill your blind spots so we get your best game?
I'm feeling a blind spot in more recent media, so I think I'm just going to have to sit on my couch and binge a bit on the most recent stuff.
And Sean, anything you would like to plug?
At the moment, I will just plug my boring Twitter account. You can reach out to me at BJEX on Twitter, twitter.com/BJEX.
Thank you, Sean. And listeners, you can also follow Sean as the strips of celluloid emoji over on our season bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the first elimination match in the Season 6 Ubu Division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
All right. Good job, everybody. That was my favorite, maybe, answer I've ever heard on this show, it's Catherine.
It's pretty good.
It just took so long to get there. And then when you thought of something to say, it was the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever heard.